Sam Ackerman is our sports commentator, and he is in Tauranga. And Sam, goodness, what a week. I know Tauranga are really affected by this awful flooding event as well. We've seen the slips in some houses, and then, for goodness sake, you had a shake this morning, just to add to the dramas.
Yep, yes. I've lived in either Auckland or Tauranga my entire life, and in that period I'd never felt an earthquake of any shape or size until, and I've had two or three weeks now. So it jolted us up. We felt it. It wasn't anything as bad as the one bit earlier this year, but we're being told to expect more of these, and this has become the normal way of life. But it does kind of, I certainly don't want to make any kind of qualms about this, because so many here in Aotearoa have felt far worse.
Yeah, but the nerves are jittery, right? The nerves are jittery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because of those scenarios, you obviously, your head jumps a lot further and faster than some of it would. But this is Tauranga's doing it a little bit tough, not as tough as our friends in Tamaki Makaurau and other places. So everyone who's there, please stay safe and look after yourselves. And anyone on the roads, just remember, if you're going anywhere holiday destination-wise, to please just be wary of those roads before you go. It's been some pretty severe damage.
Yeah, Coromandel especially. Yeah. Okay, let's get into the sports. And the All Whites are back in the headlines again, New Zealand football, necessarily for the best reasons.
It's been a little while since I've been in there for the good reasons, unfortunately. But look, the last time we really spoke about the All Whites with any kind of national context was when the, besides I wish they were at the World Cup, was when Danny Hay left in October as the coach of the men's team, and no appointment has been made until then. And this week sparked big rumblings that the News Hub and then other organisations started to come forward with the news that Jonathan Herdman was looking likely to be the preferred candidate and was on his way here potentially. And for those who don't know Jonathan Herdman, he was here a long time ago. He's English-born and had good success, in fact, with the football Ferns, the women's team, and was involved in the New Zealand setup here. In fact, his New Zealand-born son still plays rep footy at national grade and the juniors for New Zealand. So he's got a connection, but he's since gone to take the Canadian women's and then the men's team both to the World Cup, to become the first coach to take both the men's women's side of any nation to a World Cup. And he would be an incredible get. That was shooting for the stars, and everyone's like, wow, it's probably best case scenario on what they could look to land. But very quickly, that was shot down by Herdman himself, saying his success brings offers, including New Zealand, and he's knocked that one back. So now they're in a situation where other people who are in the running, like Ufuk Tele, who's the coach of the Wellington Phoenix, he says, well, that ship sailed. I was told no, so I'm not putting my name back in the race. And is a man by the name of Darren Baisley, who played for the now defunct New Zealand Knights way back in the day. It's what kind of the Phoenix have translated to, but it was a former Auckland-based side. He's been a great servant, coaching on so many junior teams and assisting with national teams for so long. He's the interim coach, and there's a decent chance he could become the head coach for a long-term basis. And I wouldn't begrudge him the opportunity, but he's certainly not what we'd say at the level of what Herdman was. So our hopes have been put high, and now they're dashed. Another guy called Scott Gemmell, another former New Zealand Knight rep, is apparently in the running too. But New Zealand football sticking to their guns, saying they're still in chat with preferred candidate. They haven't really mentioned whether that preferred candidate has changed along the way, Catherine, and I think that could be the issue. So look, there's not a silver bullet coming the way, but look, perhaps someone like Baisley who knows the system could be good, but certainly it's a league down from what the football fans of this country suddenly got their hopes up for.
All right. Now, staying with football and FIFA, of course, another organisation that spends quite a lot of time in the headlines for the wrong reasons. What's the latest?
I'm sure listeners won't need too much reminding of Saudi Arabia's stance on sports washing and how they're using a lot of their money to buy a lot of events like the LIV Golf Tour and other, and buying football teams in Europe to try to change the image of Saudi Arabia. And we, of course, their human rights issues aren't particularly well admired around the world. And certainly, we wouldn't say that women in their country are renowned for having rights and freedoms. Now, the concept of having Visit Saudi, their tourism, slapped all over as the main contributing sponsor to the FIFA Women's World Cup is one that has been met with nothing but disgust. I've been pretty impressed with the way that the both New Zealand and Australia, the co-hosts, their organisers have come forward and say this is just unpalatable. Government agencies have said they might want to rethink it. Obviously, a lot of government money on both sides of the Tasman sunk into this tournament as well. Former greats coming out and having a bash too. So it would be completely tone deaf. But tone deaf is kind of FIFA's thing. They're pretty good at that. They're pretty good at ignoring what the moral compass should or would do. So I don't know what's sadder, that it wouldn't be a surprise that it would happen, or that they've thought to do it in the first place. So they've had certainly dealings with the Saudis before. They were part sponsors, one of the many sponsors that suddenly popped up in the signage at the Men's World Cup. Even Lionel Messi is a spokesperson for Saudi Arabia. So, the money goes pretty openly and freely within FIFA. But at some point you'd like to think, they go, do you know what? Let's just have a tournament without making an absolute prat of ourselves and doing something that the rest of the world doesn't want to see. And I think it'll be a real slap in the face to many of the women involved in this. And yes, they've got their football program is starting to involve women for the first time in a long time, and that's fantastic. But to think that they can go straight to the top of the food chain like that with a sponsorship, it beggars belief. But as I say, that's FIFA's thing.
Now, the Black Caps, we were talking recently about it's been an uninspiring tour for them of India. It sort of went from bad to worse with one of their worst thrashings, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a record T20 loss. And look, T20s is one of those formats, Catherine, isn't it, where record losses can come and go pretty quickly. It's the results can be quite helter-skelter from game to game. But to suffer, to lose a T20 game by 168 runs when there's only 20 overs being bowled at an opposition is quite a trouncing. I hope it leads to a little bit of introspection. But the fact of the matter is this tour has not been a successful one to India. We all kind of rolled our eyes. Why aren't they playing at home at summer? Why are we going to India now? I kind of balanced it by thinking, right, well, India is where the One Day World Cup's happening this year, so it's an important tour to go there, almost scouting and trying things out and getting used to the conditions or seeing how things work. They didn't take the head coach. Their entire frontline bowling lineup for the pace for all kinds of reasons, and Tim Southee, Trent Bolt, Matt Henry, Cole Jameson, none of them were there. Kane Williamson wasn't there. I mean, how is this ever going to be a successful result-wise tour? Yep, they found some things out about the players they have at that next tier below, but they aren't useful things to find out. Yes, they will be better for the experience potentially, but we've seen a lot of players kind of get exposed, thrashed, and knocked out of the reckoning when it comes to the national team before. So I'm at a loss to decide, understand why they chose this tour to treat it the way they did. And we've spoken before about, sure, people can have the opportunity to refresh and taking time off on a mental capacity as well to make sure they're primed. But it seemed like a very unusual choice for me when they've been, there wasn't such an issue placed on the tours of the Netherlands and the like after the England tour earlier last year. So England, by the way, are coming here and they are the team in Test cricket right now. They've won 9 out of 10 since Brendan McCullum took over and starting with thrashing the Black Caps over at England. So it's going to be a real ask on home turf even to stop this side. And New Zealand's run in Tests has been pretty dismal, certainly by the standards that were set through what I'm now referring to as the golden era, Catherine. Mm. I feel we're through it. I feel like we're past that now. And you and I spoke at the time, but we need to soak this in, enjoy what's coming, because this was a period that us cricket fans had dreamed of, and it's here, and I don't think realistically people thought it was going to last forever. I don't want to say the bubble's burst, but it's certainly dissipating rather quickly.
Well, look, it's the reality in sport. Things ebb and flow, and you just hope for the flows. For many, many years, New Zealand cricket didn't really have them, not very frequently. So, but it has been, of recent times, a really impressive era, and maybe that rebuilding is very much on the way. Now, the Breakers we were talking about recently also, and are they just on the rise?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we last spoke, we said that they've confirmed a final spot. Now, they haven't just confirmed a final spot. They've put one foot in the semi-finals. That means in the top six of the Australian NBL, with one game to go, they're sitting second. If you finish in the top two, you go straight. You skip the first part of the playoffs, go straight to the semi-finals, which is best of three, and you get home advantage for two of those three games. So that's a big deal to get yourself through to the right spot. So they're sitting in second place. They've got one game to go against one of the teams at the foot of the ladder. Should they win that, and they hopefully should, it's a guarantee that they finish in second, which is a remarkable turnaround from a team. They're 17-10 so far this season, and the last year they won 5 games. So that shows you exactly how far they've come. They were down by, I think it was something like 18 points at one point in that game last night, but they got themselves back into a winning position to win by 10. So they've got a little bit of fortitude too. And I love that they're embracing the emotion of it. They're not playing it's just another game at a time. They're talking about how important this is to them, and they're riding that, you know, understanding of what this means to the franchise and their fans. So, yeah, I've really been impressed with the Breakers, and one more to go, and let's hope this is the start of a great playoff run.
Now, we're getting into another of those will-he-won't-he moves between codes at the moment.
Yeah, and look, the off-season is great for this, but Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, we've spoken about this before, Catherine, as well, is people saying, will he head back to rugby league? And look, the answer is, I think, absolutely he'll head back to rugby league. I don't think he's going to finish his career in rugby union unless there's some major shift in A, how he's used, and B, the money that's been thrown his way, because he is a freakish talent. I'd argue one of the best new players to ever lace up the boots as a New Zealander in rugby league, and could go down to one of the greats of the NRL too. And many who go across do come back to rugby league. He's contracted through the end of the World Cup, as you know, many are, and I get the feeling that the noise is getting loud that he's going to jump across, and I think that that's probably, no one's kind of saying when, but I don't think he's about to bail on his contract. This doesn't really feel like a Roger Tuivasa-Sheck move, not to mention he'll want to find out whether he's in World Cup consideration or not, because going to a tournament, even if he's just been part of the squad, would be a career goal to tick off for him. So I don't think he's bailing early, but anyone who hopes Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is sticking around in the rugby scene in New Zealand long term, I think will be sadly disappointed.
Well, we were talking to a guest earlier about her hopes for her local Super Bowl team, and I guess the GOAT debate, the greatest of all time debate, is has reared its head again at the moment, has it?
Yeah, look, and Tom Brady, for those who don't follow American football, he is considered the modern-day GOAT. He is he's played so he started his career in 2000. Since then, he's won more Super Bowls, most of them with the New England Patriots, but with Tampa Bay Buccaneers most recently, more Super Bowls than any other quarterback. He's a hell of a player who's smart. Savvy. He was just famous for being famous along the way, married and now divorced, a supermodel along the way. So he's done pretty well for himself. He retired a couple of years ago and got the big gushing GOAT moment and everyone bowing to Tom Brady. And then 6 weeks later said, actually, I'll come back and have another run with Tampa Bay, and has led them to playoffs every year, including a Super Bowl title. So he's definitely not bad. He's going to be remembered as the great by many. Again, not necessarily popular to everybody, and the Patriots were in a popular team, so he will always have some people going, oh, what about Montana? He was better in the clutch moment, whatever that is. But the fact is, he's not making a big deal. This time he goes, you only get one big retirement speech. I've used that, so see you. I'm gone for good this time. But just to point out as well, he wasn't handpicked for greatness like the GOATs across other sports, who were, you know, you could tell from a young age they were going to be something special. He was in the draft in 2000 for the NFL. He was pick number 199. And he went on to last 23 seasons and rack up all those records. So he worked his backside off to get there. He wasn't the chosen one. He made himself chosen.
Thanks very much, Sam Ackerman. You take good care. Thanks very much. Sam Ackerman is our sports correspondent. He's based in Tauranga.